Welcome. Yes. Welcome to More Than a Whelan, the live show. We are coming at you not from our normal gorgeous home in sunny downtown Collingwood at Castaway Studios. Coming at you from what's become like our second home, really, at the wonderful Merry Creek Tavern. So give it up for the Merry Creek Tavern. Who have been very, very kind to us. This is like our third live show here, maybe fourth, I don't know. But it's been a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. This one is to the theme of absolute beginners. So, which, you know, is a very broad theme, could cover a lot of things, a lot of beginnings. And I'm going to read a little poem for you a little bit later on. And actually, I'm going to set myself a challenge tonight. In the break, I'm going to ask you for some prompts, and then in the break, I'm going to try and write a poem on the spot and then perform it after the break. So we'll get to that later. But we've got some amazing guests here tonight who are going to help us out. Amongst them is Natasha Joanna, Gabrielle Haddad, and Jessica Berth and Mitch Power. But firstly, I'm very, very proud to welcome to the stage a wonderful performer who's just started beginning getting onto stages and stuff, I think. But I'm going to have a brief little interview after she finishes. So for the moment, I want you to go bananas for Maggie Alley.
My name is Maggie Alley. I'm just going to be doing a couple of songs for you tonight. The song is called Devil's Child.
Honey, you are the devil's child.
This next song is called Who Am I to See No One? Thank you so much, everyone, especially Sean and Whelan, for having me on this wonderful podcast, of course, and thank you to the Merry Creek Tavern, and for everyone down the back, of course, Derek and Nick, doing the podcast and on sound, so thank you very much. I've been Maggie Alley, thank you so much for having me. This next one is off my upcoming EP, produced by good old Matt Walker. Yes, it's called Mr. Billy. This song is called Mr. Billy. Yeah, the EP is not yet named. But anyway, this song is called Mr. Billy. Thank you for having me. days and all.
Before you pack up, would you like to just join me here just for a quick moment? I just want to ask you a couple of questions.
Hello, thank you.
Now, you're quite young. Do you mind me asking how old you are?
17.
17.
Yeah.
That is a mighty powerful voice.
Thank
for
you.
A 17-year-old.
Thank you.
I'm going to... You're now, I know your old man, Mr. Jonathan Alley.
All right.
He's been on radio since before they invented the gramophone, I think, on Triple R, on Under the Sun.
Right. Yep.
Now, he knows, he probably likes to think he knows a bit about music, and he probably tells you, probably gives you advice about music a lot. How much does that shit you?
Oh. Huh. Well, I mean, it was just this, oh, my God, the things. No, it was just this evening, just before I came over, my guitar kept going out of tune, and he just had the audacity to come up and give me a bottom E note from off the top of this song. I don't know.
Right.
I already have a guitar tuner and everything, but he was just like, put this on and, like, tune it.
Bless him.
Yeah, but no, he likes to dictate a few things, that's
right.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
He's a good man, Mr. Jonathan Alley. Under the sun, listen to that radio program. Mr. Matt Walker, you have producing your album. That is quite a coup. He's a legend in the Australian music scene.
He's a beautiful man. I played support to him when I was 14 years old. It was one of my first gigs, and he just offered me studio time, and he just did it out of the goodness of his heart, and we worked together over two recording sessions last May. And
wow.
Yeah, that's. I just need to get it mastered now, but otherwise it's in
that's
the can.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
A real gentleman too, Mr.
Absolutely.
Matt Walker.
Yeah.
Each of the guests tonight, I'm going to ask you what is your, like, first car or first blah, blah, blah. I haven't revealed these questions yet. So I'm going to ask you, Maggie, what was the first record you ever bought with your own money?
Oh, my God.
Can you even remember? It can't be that long ago.
I remember the first CD I ever bought, but
yes. Oh, what first CD record? Doesn't matter. Cassette, 8-track. The
I
old
know
man
my,
would remember those.
My first CD, I think, was a Public Image CD.
Really?
I went into Dixon's and Fitzroy and just got a secondhand Public Image CD. So that was my first CD. First vinyl, I'm pretty sure, was I think the actually Horses by Patti Smith. I think I bought that for myself.
Oh,
not too long ago.
They're too good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
First record I bought was Pat Benatar.
Wow.
A live album.
It's respect.
Weird, right? But I only bought it because I thought she was hot and I wanted her to be my girlfriend.
Oh, dear.
But I also liked her music. I'm not that shallow.
Sure.
Yeah. And when's the EP going to come out, do you
probably
think?
Next year.
Next year. Yep. Amazing. Well, I certainly look forward to it.
Thank you.
Everybody give Maggie Alley another big round of applause.
Thank you for having me.
Everybody in the room, you have an opportunity to walk away with a More Than the Wheel and branded apron tonight. It's all gold and shimmery. So there's little tickets at the door. Just write your name on one of those tickets and place it into the golden bowl of swag. And then I'm going to draw it at the end. I'm just going to model it quite briefly. Derek, can you take a photo? All righty. Now I'm super, super excited to introduce our next guest to you. She just brought out an amazing EP this year. I first met her when I had a little thing going on at State Library. I was doing a little residency there. So please welcome her to the stage. Her name is Natasha Joanna.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Merry Creek Tavern. It's my new local, actually. I took me like 2 minutes to walk here tonight. In the spirit of beginnings, I thought I'd play a new song for you. Darling, don't regret it. Remember when those days made us sing. You'd rhyme gardens with water. You'd dedicate yourself to the earth. You told me an angel gave you a hand in your darkest moment here. Remember when you were top like fireflies in the sand. You're a pure flower. You have sailed like a boat out on the bay. I want you to find your man and love again. That's a song called Pure Flower. It's about my mother. This next one is called The Calendar, and yeah, it's off an EP I put out in July called Golden Light. Yeah, check it out. coffee in the morning. We would go about our days in the morning, in the evening. I was constantly staring at the calendar. I'm sure that I could fit into your world like you wanted me to, like you wanted me to. Even though my hand fit into yours like the perfect winter sweater. Time passes slowly when you don't want it to. Time passes quickly when you don't want it to. Time passes slowly when you don't want it to. Time passes quickly when you don't want it to.
Take a photograph.
take a photograph. I take a photograph. Wait, stop. My youth can't be lost. Wait, stop. Time is standing still. I take a photograph. I take a photograph. Take a photograph. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I've actually already had an extended chat to you on More on the Wheel. And wait, we're back. We're up to episode 40-something at the moment.
Wow.
And you appeared on episode 16.
Wow, great.
Yes.
40-something. Nearly the big 50.
Yeah, nearly the big 50. Whoa, that's going to be a big occasion. I'm going to ask you, what was your first memory of any memory? Do you have a distinctive one as a child?
Wow. It's getting deep.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we go deep here on More on the Wheel. We go deep.
My very first memory. Oh, my goodness. Can I just have a moment?
Yeah, I'll tell them my first memory while you have a think about it, okay? Mine's pretty weird. My first memory is having this nightmare of these guys in like they're just all – it's like they got a black sheet over their head. And the sheets are all covered in glitter and they're wearing bowler hats and they're just kind of swaying around and there's streamers coming from the ceiling. I distinctly having this nightmare when I don't know, it's the first thing I can remember. And then many years later, I'm fucking watching Lost in Space, a 60s TV show, and there were these creatures who looked exactly like that. They wore these black bowler hats and they were covered in black. It was like I saw this portal into the future in Lost in Space. I don't know, when I was a kid.
That's so good.
It's pretty weird.
First memory. I actually, like, I definitely remember learning how to ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
I definitely remember, like, the exact moment of, like, taking off
Yes, I remember
stability.
That too.
Yeah. I don't know if it was my first memory or not. I feel like I have memories of videos. Home videos that are actually the videos and not my memories, and I think that they're my memories.
Yes,
which is actually like a phenomenon, I think, that people get confused with what's real and what's your actual memory.
Memories are very strange because even actual memories, I think they're always partly concocted, like you fill in the gaps, so nothing's real.
Mm.
In case you didn't realize that, nothing is real. But you are really good. And thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for gracing our stage. Your EP is out now, Magical Light?
No. Golden Light.
Golden Light.
It is magical.
It is magical, yes. It's a very wonderful EP. I saw the launch at Grace Island.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fucking fantastic gig. And by the way, that last song on the record has got hand claps on it, and I love a song with hand claps. I cannot get enough of hand claps. So, and then I had that weird moment when I was at the Mantra. It's at this very commercial hotel on the Gold Coast. Don't ask me why I was there. And I'm in the lobby, and your song was playing in the lobby. And I message you and you're like, how? I don't know. It's
the Surfers Paradise.
Yeah. You're big in Surfers Paradise.
I need to go and play a show there.
Yeah. Yes, you do. All right, give a big round of applause. Yeah, it's cool. All right, next up, we have someone very, very special on the stage who's going to do a little bit of poetry for us. No, it's Gabrielle, her dad. Is she in the room? There she is. And so give her a big round of applause and make her feel very, very welcome.
The end is where we begin. With the soles of our feet buried in mud 6 feet deep, it's impossible to move, but eventually we tire of being stuck. We use every limb, every muscle we have, our souls and our hearts, and inch by inch we begin to shift as we sing. The end is where we begin. With the stories of our foremothers, we retell them to cement their legacy. We know without them we lose our identity. So we walk the same paths, roads well-traveled, treading onto footprints well-defined, with shoes unborrowed, we render history anew. And our story is made of past dreams realized and present litanies redefined as we sing. The end is where we begin. When we're lying on our deathbeds and can no longer speak, when our hair has turned grey and we have blisters on our feet, we pray you feel our love with every breath that you breathe as we look to you and we sing. The end is where you begin. Thank you. So my name is Gabriella, and when I was thinking about beginnings, for me it was kind of about endings, and I feel like endings and beginnings naturally go together, and with every beginning there's an ending, and with every ending there's potentially a new beginning. So this next one is a poem I wrote last year, and it's an ode also to my, I guess, ancestors and the women before me. And I'll be singing in Arabic a little bit. Because I'm a singer as well. Surprise, surprise. إلى خبزي أمي وقهوتي أمي ولمساتي أمي يحنو إلى خبزي أمي وقهوتي أمي ولمساتي أمي بس كده منك من هون بس بدي حسك بوجودي. I heard you were soldier strong, that you carried the weight of the village on your shoulders, a chief amongst chiefs. You rolled out carpets for dignitaries, fed the community with your working hands, stood tall amongst homes of yellow limestone. Every neighbor knew your name, even till this day. You are my connection to Azakh, the place your children abandoned to be renamed and rebuilt for wolves to claim, wolves who do not know your name nor care to. They have claimed the space, calling it idyll as if it were brand new, as if Azakh never existed, like it is merely folkloric, a fable to tell children who have never been, children who will never go, children like me. Descendants lost, stuck in between strange lands and no land. You carried my mother in your womb, and she became my homeland. Her voice soothed my soul, her hand sewed my clothes. She carried the weight of my world on her shoulders. A queen amongst queens, she rolled out carpets for dignitaries who were her daughters. Fed the community with her working hands, stood tall amongst pillars of brick veneer. Every neighbor knew her name, even till this day. She is my connection to home. A home I will never abandon, to be renamed and rebuilt for wolves to claim, wolves who do not know her name nor care to. Samira Haddad, منك من هون بس بدي حسك بوجودي. I thought my home would always have a roof, strong walls and carpeted floors, but it is more a house on wobbling stilts with a garden filled with weeds and a staircase of broken steps to a fallen front door. The silence leaves me wondering if you are still home. And I know you are, but you're not soothing souls with your voice anymore. You're not sewing clothes. You're not standing tall anymore. Yet every neighbor knows your name, even till this day. And they say, I look a lot like you. So I stand tall. I soothe souls with my voice for you. And one day I'll sew clothes. I'll become a home like you. But until then, you are the only home I can return to, a weary home, a fragile home, but a home that is mine nonetheless. Ahnu ila khubzi ummi wa qawti ummi wa lamsati ummi wa takbaru fiya tafulatu yawman ala صدري يومي وأعشق عمري لأني إذا مت أخشله من دمعي أمي would you like a translation of the Arabic part? It's a song called Mum, basically, my mum. And okay, so I didn't prepare this earlier, but it's the translation is I yearn for my mother's bread and my mother's coffee and my mother's touch. And my childhood grows within me day after day, for if I died, I would be embarrassed by my mother's tears. Yeah, it's pretty intense. It was written by, I think, a Palestinian poet called Mahmoud Darwish, and the song, it's by a Lebanese singer called Marcel Khalife. Yeah, so I was just introduced to that song last year, and I just loved it, and yeah, I learned it. So, and then it, I thought, oh, this goes with this poem. So, do I have time for one more? Okay. So I had a freak out moment before I came on because I edited my notes, and this is why I don't normally use phones, but I don't have access to a printer at the moment. So, because I couldn't find my updated notes on my phone, and so I was relying, I was like, oh, I'll just remember most of it. But this is a piece about the beginning of a relationship, but not really the beginning of a relationship, but the beginning of a rebirth of a relationship. So, you know, sometimes relationships go a certain way and it's either going to break or it's going to mend. And this is about a relationship with a family member that sort of I've managed to heal, and it's like a new relationship. So it's like a new beginning. Yeah. So this is originally from a prose piece, but I kind of took some bits out, and it was for an event called Closer to the Moon. So that was the theme. So, my light had dimmed to non-existence, and I felt like a frog in a jar, leaping out, bouncing back, looking out, but trapped in, losing sight of all light outside, inside, and in between. Dismembered from my body, estranged from my spirit, and so were you. Just two hurt souls drowning in the ocean, forgetting how to breathe underwater, forgetting how to swim to the surface. Moving around each other, but never to each other. Void of all hope and direction, our ability to express and feel was buried under the grief of losing our greater source of love. She had transitioned to the other side, leaving us behind, empty. With only layers of pain and sorrow to keep us warm, we clung onto them tightly because who would we be without them? Preferring to numb ourselves, you with your chosen vices, me with utter apathy. We both knew it hurt too much to feel. But repression is a delusion, the thought that we can subdue pain when it merely finds ways to escape in subconscious ways, depriving us from feeling joy and happiness too. We lived on the moon, where only darkness exists, for without the reflection of the sun there is no light. And that is the place where we lived because neither of us could be the sun. So we flung shooting stars at each other, shouting cutting words, hoping we would catch them but scalding our hearts instead, burning our skin to reveal raw flesh. I'm sorry I could not dress your wounds. I'm sorry I could not dress my own. I was not ready to confront the reality of you or the denial of me. It's always a mystery how the cracks form, making way for piercing rays of light through the darkest of grey clouds to brighten up the sky. I don't recall the moment I started seeing the light again. I don't recall how I found my way out of the darkness. I don't know where the light came from or how it shone through for not only me but for you, but it did. Until we learned how to love again, until we learned how to love ourselves enough to love each other again. We seldom speak of having lived in the darkness for so long, but the few times we did, I realized the pointlessness of it all. We had no shared recollections, only random pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. So it was easier to forgive and dwell in the now where the love between us thrives, where we choose to be each other's sun in moon-like times, where I can cry to you and you can cry to me, where there is nothing left unsaid, where our bond is as strong as our center of gravity, where we are no longer drowning but swimming endlessly around the earth's oceans, weaving and ducking between each other, playing tag and making bubbles underwater with our breath, where our cutting words no longer scald our hearts but more so melt them. Followed by cackling laughter at the sheer likeness of our fierceness. We are still living in space, but are neither fully the sun nor the moon. We alternate between them, but are never consumed by the mood of either one. When we are both suns, we do not envy one another's light. We rejoice in it. When one is the sun and one is the moon does not dim the sun's light, but the sun naturally shines stronger to brighten the moon. When we are both moons, we look for the cracks and wait for the light. For we have learned that in time the light will come, that it will find the cracks, and it would always be ready to shine. In our darkest days, sometimes the best we can be are reflections of others' light. So shine, thank you. Thanks.
Have a seat, Gabby. Thank you for that. That was so wonderful.
It's all right.
The combination of singing with poetry.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a way to, fuse them more and more together.
Well, you're doing it very successfully. What I'd like to ask you, when was the first time you read a poem on stage to a live audience and why did you do it?
Yeah, 2013. I remember it because... Right. It was about my mum, and I had never shared a poem before. It was at this event in Melbourne called Mother Tongue, which was it was an all-female or non-male, I guess.
Yeah,
it's an open mic.
It's a wonderful ongoing event, still going, yes.
Yeah, it's still going. I don't remember what month, but it was a process leading up to it because I'd always been writing and singing, but I'd never shared poetry on stage. And it was about my mum who I had lost, and it took a long time for me to process that. And that was the first poem I wrote that I felt like I had done enough processing, and I wanted to share that with people because I thought maybe – actually, no, I think it was just more for myself, but then I was surprised that people related to it.
Mm.
And it kind of went from like when she was sort of in hospital and unwell to, yeah, her passing away and then the after as well. So it was, yeah, a whole journey, and I really just felt like I was ready and I hadn't felt ready. It had been like 4 years since she passed, so
That's a beautiful tribute. Family seems to be a strong theme in your work.
Yeah.
Well, in the work that I've heard,
anyway. Yeah, family is really important to me.
Yeah.
So I'm really close with my family, and it's always, they're always there, and we can always sort of rely on each other, and yeah, we're pretty tight.
It's a wonderful thing. What do you have coming up in way of performances for you?
I have a couple of gigs at the Immigration Museum.
Wonderful.
One is for, it's a new project called the Australian Multilingual Writing Project, and it's going to be a lineup of people who basically write using more than one language, and English and maybe and another language. And so it's poets, and it's on October the 26th. At the Immigration Museum, that will be fun. And then on November the 17th, I'm part of a music concert called Under the Olive Tree. And it brings together Arabic and Jewish musicians basically to sing and to play music from their countries and to collaborate. And
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so it's a mix of like in terms of singing like English, Arabic and Hebrew. So I've never, it's pretty cool. So I've never done that before.
Wow. Well, I'll drop some links to that in our show notes. Please give Gabby a huge round of applause,
because
that was beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks, Sean.
I'm just going to read you a quick poem, and then we're going to have a little break. And this is a poem I've actually done on the show before, but it was so on point for tonight that I thought I must read it, because it's called Thirst. My first kiss was at midnight on a boat shed deck on a Moynton beach. She made me listen to Echo and her Bunnymen's Killing Moon on her Walkman. The headphones dropped from my head as she kissed me into oblivion. My first taste of marijuana was from a bucket bong in a rock and roll St Kilda share house. A baptism of THC fire. My first punch I ever received was at 15 years old playing for Ballura against Dramana. I tried to wrestle this guy away from a teammate who was also punching, and then he turned around and decked me directly in the face. It's true, you really do see stars. My first sex was in a bedroom in Seaford while her mother baked cookies in the kitchen. To this day, the smell of freshly baked cookies produces a Pavlovian tingle in my loins. My first time in a plane was flying to Mexico on a one-way ticket with my girlfriend, who I would marry 3 years later. We broke up 18 months later and divorced. She held my hand tightly as the plane took off. My first breakup was in the Melbourne Botanical Gardens on a clear, bright, sunny day, which led to the second and last time I was punched. She pummeled my chest with her fist while tears streamed down her face. My first record I ever owned was the Beach Boys' Greatest Hits, a birthday present from my parents. My first record I ever bought, as we discussed earlier, was with my own money, was Pat Benatar Live, because I was in love with her and certain we would marry one day. Love really is a battlefield. My first car was a 1965 bottle green Hillman Minx. I drove it all the way home from the seller's house with the handbrake still on. I was terrified that I'd ruined it. I hadn't. I also used to keep a bunch of plastic flowers spread across the dashboard because I wanted to be Morrissey, which seems particularly shameful today. My first has never been my first, because everything has happened before and will happen again. Now, I want you to – I'm going to do this challenge. I'm kind of regretting I said I'd do it now, but I'm going to fucking do it anyway. So I want you to shout out some prompts. I don't have my pen at the moment. And I'm going to write a poem in the break based on those prompts. So just say anything, a colour, a word, a phrase, whatever.
Hats.
Hats, great.
Corruption.
Corrupt hats. Okay, yeah, cool. One more. Vulnerability, beautiful. Love it. Vulnerable, corrupt hats. Sounds easy. All right. We're going to have like a 10-minute break. Thank you so much. Go to the bar, water your horses and water your mouth at the bar. Get yourself a drink and we'll be back very, very shortly. We've got two more acts for you to enjoy. Thank you. Hi.
Hello.
So we're back. We're back. Welcome back to the More Than a Wheel On live show at the Merri Creek Tavern. Okay, so before I bring our next two final acts onto the stage, I have taken on that challenge. I went out the back and I wrote this little poem according to the prompts of hats, corruption and vulnerability. And here we go. In the beginning, I had a panic attack. Well, I didn't know that's what it was called at the time, and it was all the fault of the universe. I don't know how old I was, very young, way before I ever considered hats would become an important part of my identity. So my head was unprotected and plagued with vulnerability. One day on a mountain beach, I suddenly realised the universe has no end, because it can't. If the universe is in a box, there has to be something outside of that box, right? And what's outside that box? Another box, and then another, and then another? I was drunk on Cinzano and Coke. It was the cheapest booze we could find at the time. And I suddenly found myself short of breath and my soul corrupted by the knowledge of infinity. And it felt like I was in an echo chamber and everything kept repeating around me like waves and waves and waves emanating from my own very being. How can anything have no end? There is nothing on earth that is equal to this. There's nothing that is infinite. And now, although this still scares me a little bit, it gives me comfort too, that there is so much more than we understand out there. So much more. Thank you. All right, now I'd like to welcome our next guest. She goes under the name of Jessica at Birth. She's doing a very, very interesting piece of work that kind of relates in one way to the poem I just wrote. But we'll talk about that a bit later. So give her a round of applause and welcome her on stage.
Where do I be, standing or sitting?
I think I'll stand.
Wumanjika, Nada Nick, Jessica at Birth, I'd like to acknowledge that we're on the land of the people of the Kulin Nation and that sovereignty has never been ceded. I'm going to play you some songs that I'm going to release in a few weeks. So they've just come back from the master and it's a test. You're my test to see what it sounds like with fancy speakers. Just going to press play.
Yeah.
The first song is called Beano, and Beano is my childhood toy who I still have, who was a bit too shy. He almost made it out. He made it to the kitchen table and he was just like, no, I'm not coming. Okay. So, yeah. Joe, that's number one, track number one. The next one's about my dog, and just in the theme of the Ariadne thread of what's come before us. My earliest memory was my dog and this very visceral kind of intense experience of the dog's paws and the claws and its teeth and very special connection between my dog. And so much so that she was so protective of me that people would – we had this big quarter-acre block on Strawn's Road in Mornington, and people would come past the – on the pavement – well, I don't even think it was a pavement, it was probably dirt, and the dog would go for the people protecting me, and ended up having to go to a farm because it was too, and that was like deep heartbreak. But this song is called Rinta, I think. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. You can clap. It's a bit awkward, isn't it, listening without performing? I made a film clip for that. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. If you go Rinta, Jessica at Birth, you'll see the film clip. And the next song, which is, there's just little snippets. I decided I was going to do 10 songs and have them all be kind of like two and a bit minutes. And so this last song, as far as I know, there's no lighthouse in Mornington, but there is in my feeling of it. It's all metaphors. And that's called The Lighthouse.
She got up out of bed, she said her prayers instead. She climbed up to the top of the tower, and the moon was shining down upon her, blessing her face, the wind, the waves, the lighthouse. all the sailors come and go with their boats, the junk ships, yeah, you know they're not afloat, they keep falling into the waves, they keep falling to shallow.
All right, have a seat. Jessica, at birth?
Yes.
Firstly, I'd like to ask you where that name comes from, actually.
Good story. My auntie Monica in Euroa wants to think it was the nurses that called me Jessica in Queen Victoria Hospital in Melbourne.
Right.
I think it was my birth mother. There's a lot of, you know, family stories and trauma and things. So for me to claim Jessica, it's sort of acknowledging my birth mother. Right. And I was called, on my birth certificate it says unnamed baby female, and then there's another birth certificate which says Jessica King, which was foster family in Dandenong, Dandy, and then adoption Hannah.
Right.
Yeah.
I
so,
see.
You know, it's like me sort of claiming my maternal mother and then in doing so making her visible in her story.
It's now, we both grew up in Mornington.
We did. We did. I grew up in Strawn's Road.
Strawn's Road. Know it very well. What's your favourite memory of Mornington?
It's the trees. When Tasha was saying about your when you picked your feet up on the bike, I had that too with around this giant, like the oak, it would have been the size of that floor there, the size of the trunk of the oak tree. And, yeah, down the hill, that tree. And just climbing, we, you know, huntsmans, we climbed a lot of pine trees.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, my brother kept a huntsman in his bungalow.
That big.
I thought it was creepy. It was weird.
Hairy. It's very visceral.
Yeah, and
Mornington's
tea trees.
Great. Pine, tea trees the smell of pine.
Yeah.
Pippies.
Yeah. So this whole album is built around that concept of that, is it?
It is.
Of growing up in Mornington.
Well, it's about my childhood and sort of me looking at all the great things. Like the first tracks are actually about wrestling and I lost my front teeth. My older brother got wire around my front teeth and on the door handle and did that, pulled my teeth out whilst wrestling, jumping, you know. If you grow up working class, it's the body and it's risk-taking and there's no adult supervision. So it's just like, you know.
Wait, why did he have wire around your teeth? Was he a dentist?
No, I think he saw it on telly, the big old Rancorina telly. You know, my dad had a panel beating and spray painting business in the back shed, double back shed.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work going on in cars and tow trucks and the dog and, you know, the telly.
Yeah.
Wrestling, Cyndi Lauper, Hulk Hogan, all that.
Oh, yeah.
Foam,
I remember
foam,
that.
You know, double pine beds.
Yeah.
Jumping off the top bunk.
Yep.
Carnage, blood on the carpet.
My brother, we went to a trampoline park once. It was those trampolines that were sort of set like level with the ground.
The low ones, yeah, built in.
And my brother went first. And then he fucking chipped his, like, he hit the springs.
I hear that about
chipped
that.
His tooth. Yeah. And then, like, oh, we've got to go to the hospital. And I'm like, well, there goes my turn.
Yeah, you didn't get a go.
I didn't get a go. I still resent him for it to this day.
You should take him to a tramp place. And
no, he should take me.
Yeah, he should.
Shout out to Barney.
And Josh.
And Josh, my brother. Yes. All the violence we have with siblings.
But it's kind of reframing. Like, you know, I started, I'm just finishing a degree in songwriting and music production. And the first year and a half, I made this whole other album, but then I was performing it and then these big stories would come at the end. It was about my nan and World War II and, you know, trauma. And I went, it's just got to be like fun memories, light memories, abstract, you know.
Mm. And when's the album going to drop?
Oh, Saturday, also on the same
Saturday.
Day. Saturday, the 26th of October at the Village.
Oh, right.
Where are we? We're in Northcote. So I think it's – where's the Edinburgh Gardens from here?
That way.
That way.
This is good
up
on
there.
The podcast.
Yeah, that's right. The Village Festival.
Oh, the Village Festival.
Shipper Jewels stage, Saturday night.
I married someone at the Village Festival.
Did you?
Once. It was so they wanted their wedding to be a theatre show.
Yeah.
And so anyone could
come. Was
that
Liz?
No.
Okay.
And it was bananas. It was crazy. Yeah. It was great.
It's a good place.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Look forward to hearing more of the record, the album, or whatever format it's coming out.
It'll be on that Saturday. I'll probably in the morning I'll press upload to the album.
Amazing.
Bandcamp. Yeah, thank
you. All right. Give Jessica at Beth a big round of applause. That's your wine, yes. Take it or I will drink it. We've got one more act for you. He's a golden soul. He's a fucking kick-ass guitarist. He plays pinball like he's deaf, dumb and blind. And but he's also a bit of a funny man. So I want you to welcome Mitch Power up onto the stage. Yes.
Good evening, everybody. How are we? Excellent. I'm excited to be here. This is absolute beginnings. This is good. This is my very first podcast appearance, so I'm beginning that tonight, which is very nice. So thank you, Sean, for letting indulging me in this tonight. I'm very excited. And I've been a beginner at a lot of things, and not at my job, though. I work at a guitar shop, and although I do tell people that I'm a beginner there, because then you can get away with fucking things up all the time. You say, oh, sorry, it's my first day. And you get away with everything, which is really nice. And also, I found out something that's briefly off topic, but sort of still relevant as well. I found out a couple of weeks ago that the word absolute, you can put in front of any inanimate object to make it an insult. And it's beautiful. You can just call someone, you're just like, you are an absolute mic stand. And it works, and it's such a good insult. But when you can't swear at someone, it's beautiful. Like, you know, for instance, you know, just off the top of my head, if you were at a guitar shop and someone was being a real dick, you had a really bad customer and you couldn't call them a dick, you'd just be like, mate, you're being an absolute lampshade right now. And then if they keep going and you accidentally call them a dick, well, then you say, well, sorry, it's my first day. I'm a beginner. I didn't know you can't swear at people. So it's all good. But I was thinking about this subject today, because obviously I'm not the person that's on the poster. So, you know, my preparation for today has been outstanding. I've got a phone call this morning from Sean, which is beautiful. And so I had the day to think about it. And I was thinking about beginnings, and one beginning that's kind of been really fascinating to see kind of transpire in front of all of us is the absolute beginning that men now have to go through to relearn all of these things that have just been entrenched in us since day one. But now, as decent human beings, we're trying to get rid of all of that and be absolute beginners at being humans again. And it's fascinating to kind of see, because, you know, we do fuck it up every now and again, but we will do that, but we're trying. Well, the good ones are anyway. And you see it happen a lot. But one thing that I kind of cottoned onto a little while ago is there's a nice little thing that you can do and a little test for all the men out there. If you do want to do something to actively become a beginner and, you know, start this new path about being a decent human. And there's a little thing that I'm going to share with you tonight that you can all do. It's very simple. First thing you need is you just need to have a female in your life. So it can be a girlfriend or a wife. Bonus points if it is. You found love. Good on you. But I'd also accept, you know, a family member or a close friend would do the trick. And what you need to do is you need to get them to send you on a mission for tampons. Right? Now, when you get the instructions, do not do this over the phone, because as good as the 5G network is, you can't have any kind of interference when it comes to these sort of instructions. So get it written down, get a signed affidavit stamped by a judge and witnessed by a pharmacist kind of vibe, because you don't want any kind of surprise here. Because trust me, the one sentence that no woman wants to hear is, oh, hey, babe, I got you these surprise sanitary supplies. As good as alliteration is, that's just not something that you should ever say to someone. So when you've got your little affidavit, you head off down to the chemist or you go to the supermarket and you're at the supermarket and you want to head for like the aisles where all the kind of, you know, all the other things are, the chemistry kind of stuff. If in doubt, just head for the condoms. I assume you at least know where those are. And if you don't, you are an absolute door handle. And when you get there, you're going to be bombarded with these bright bursting little packages that are just, they're all there to absorb your confusion and stem the tidal wave of fear that is coming out of you. And you'll stand there and you'll look at your little signed affidavit and you'll see, all right, cotton tampons, regular thin. And you'll look up and it'll be like, super thin max, super thin daily, super thin night, sport with wings, sport with no wings, ultra thin with wings, ultra thin with no wings, original, barely there, organic, breathable, cotton, and Coles brand. And all the while, women will be walking past behind you and you just know they're thinking to themselves, oh, that poor bastard. At least he's having a go, though. And you'll think for a second that maybe you should ask them for help, maybe get some directions, but then a voice will appear in the back of your head saying, since the dawn of time, not once has a man ever asked for help or directions from a stranger, and we are not about to start now. And you're like, oh, fuck, of course, the forefathers. Yep, can't ask a stranger for help. Only thing I can ask a stranger to do is hold my beer, because I've got this. And eventually, after what feels like an eternity of standing there, it'll jump out at you like a foreign object has just been shoved inside you. Be like, ah, cotton tampons, ultra thin, regular. Yes, I have done it. I have provided for a woman in my life and I am reliable and can complete set tasks. And you'll feel good. And you should feel good because you've done something important for someone who is important to you. And that's a very good thing. The only kind of caveat and stipulation on all of this, of course, is whenever you get to where you need to be to deliver the goods, do not, and I repeat, do not, under any circumstances, ask her for the money. You will undo every bit of good deed that you have just done. And you will be right back to sending a string of unanswered text messages to women you barely know in order to make yourself feel like a man. And the only place for that kind of behavior in 2019 is wrapped up in toilet paper and stuck in that special little bin next to the toilet. You absolute tampon. Thank you very much, guys. Cheers.
Give Mitch Power another big round of applause. And that draws our evening of absolute beginners and more than a Whelan live podcast show to an end. So I need you to thank some people. I need you to thank Maggie Alley, Natasha Joanna, Gabriel Haddad. Yes. Jessica Berth. Mitch Power. Did I forget anyone? No, I don't think so. Sorry? Oh, myself, yeah. Okay, you can thank me if you want, if you must. We must thank Nick and Sandy, did a bang-up job, and thank the Merry Creek Tavern. We love them. And I need to thank my producer, Derek Myers, and Castaway Studios, without whom I would not be here. Yes. And thank you all for coming. You're so lovely.
You've been listening to More Than We On. Thank you for listening. Whelan out.
To hell.